We'd like to welcome those of you who have joined us tonight, Vine Grove Baptist Church Sunday evening Bible study. I hope and pray that you've joined to worship with us in spirit and in truth. Tonight, I'm going to completely finish chapter 12 of Revelation. Now, your handouts that you have right in front of you, that backs up to the first part of chapter 12. I'll tell you the page numbers that you'll get on as we get to the new part. I just didn't want you to have two or three different packets. You got one packet, chapter 12. What you see in the beginning right there is what we went over a couple of weeks ago. And tonight I'll be closing it out. I'll do just a little refresher for you. Revelation 12, chapter 12, part 1 is verses 1 through 4, part 2, verses 5 through 17. Now, chapter 12 opens with a great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. This is verse 1. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Now, we learned that night that this woman that is depicted in chapter 12 represents Old Testament Israel, and it also represents the New Testament church. It represents God's people. The woman represents God's people. The woman does not represent Mary. The woman represents God's people in this focus of Revelation. Now, why would I say that? In the Old Testament, God referred to his people as a woman, whom he dressed in honor and splendor. As in Ezekiel, the garland with 12 stars may be symbolic of the 12 tribes of Israel. With the New Testament church, is symbolized as a woman. And it is members are likely are likened to virgins, and you have all the scripture that you need on that. When Christ returns to the earth, he is going to marry the church. All right. The focus is this. God's people, Israel, gave birth to Jesus. Now stick with me on this. It is the nation that began first. Out of the nation, God's people, was to come our deliverers, to come the Christ. Okay, so now we're looking into Revelation as what is to come. We are seeing that God is saying, okay, you've got the books back there, boys. Now read, Old Testament, New Testament. You've got it all. Now, as I close out history to the end of the age here, I want you to see and get a picture of what I was telling you about. Through all of the prophets, all of the disciples, all of the writers of Scripture altogether was always pointing to this time. Again, I remind you, as the Scripture teaches us of all the ages that are ever listed, or of all the generations and all, the church age is the greatest, the age that you're in right now. We are of the greatest of all ages, the generations, the generation of the church age, the New Testament church, for we are the recipients of 100% of God's total grace. We are the only generation, the church age generation, when the Holy Spirit would come to indwell us, he didn't leave. At Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended on all of the believers of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit did not withdraw from the individuals. Throughout all the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would descend, go into the being of all of the prophets, those that God had called for special tasks, special ministries. Then they would the Holy Spirit would indwell them, and as the Holy Spirit would indwell them, once their mission was completed, the Holy Spirit pulled back away from them. It took the act of Christ dying on that cross. It took the act of Christ sealing our eternal salvation. It took that act for the Holy Spirit. That's what we call it, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended and all was of one mind. And you see the cloven tongues and all of this. But it was the focus of, at that point, then Christ seals us as his special people. Oh, you're so special. And it's just, you know, I guess I can't teach that loud enough or boldly enough to let us know how important the church age truly is. Now, the false church of the tribulation we learn about. Go to page 2. The enormous red dragon was Satan. This was the first study. Enormous red dragon was Satan. And in verse 4 is where Satan was first kicked out of the direct presence in God's house. Let's do it that way. Where God lives. Okay. Satan is cast out. Now, the question had always been, wait a minute, I thought Satan was still in the heavens. Well, Satan is in the heavens, but not where God abides. He's not in God's house. Evil is not allowed to be in the glory of God's house. It can't exist there. Satan is pure evil. Who said so? God. Satan is a liar. He is the author of it. He is pure evil. He cannot be in the presence. So the big question was then, well, wait a minute. What are we talking about him being still being in heaven? That, you know, had the battles come down, his tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky, flung them to the earth, the dragon stood, and so we had all of the controversy over what do we talk about heaven. Well, this is page 2 that we're on. He was an archangel himself. We had that. Go to page 3. And page 3, you saw where I broke down for us, look at the heavens. We saw the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. Now, why would, you know, Faye reminds me of this a lot of times when I'm teaching and studying and all, and we're talking about, I don't ever remember anybody teaching this when I was growing up. I don't ever remember hearing half the stuff I teach when I was growing up. I don't remember it ever even being brought up. But I do know this, it's biblical, it is in the Word of God, and the reason that we don't or haven't dealt with it, the only thing that I can think of, the main focus has always been on salvation for the New Testament church. But folks, we've sort of been left back in the dust of, you know, things are so confusing. Well, they don't have to be. Everything doesn't have to be total confusion for us. Look at it this way. First, second, and third heaven. Well, wait a minute. You're talking about third heaven, all right? First heaven is the sky and the atmosphere. We see that in Genesis 1, 6 through 8. God said, let there be an expanse between the waters, separate water from heaven. So God made the expanse, separated water into the expanse and the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky. So we have the atmosphere in which we live. That's one of the heavens. The birds fly in it. The airplanes fly in it. Sometimes we fly in it, whatever. The second heaven is outer space. That's where the moon and the, you know, all of the stuff that we see in our telescopes, that's called the second heaven. Genesis 1, 14 through 18, Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, and Ephesians 6, 12. Anyway, and God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky. We'll go through all of that. You have the scripture right before you there. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. We're talking about the abode of Satan. Satan abides in the first and second heavens. All right. Please think of it this way. I want you to remember, Satan is a spirit also. Satan is not a physical being. He is a spiritual being. Therefore, he dwells in his spiritual realm in the two heavens. Well, and how do I know that? Well, Satan still has to use the human being to use a human being to do his work. Satan still, his evil spirit will infect the spirit of some unsuspecting human being, and Satan will use that individual. You've got the Antichrist. Those are human beings. Well, you know, I hear Satan talking out there in the air. You're not going to listen to what some wind is blowing around your head, but you can be pulled astray by another human being. Satan does that. Does not Christ use each one of us human beings? We're called Christians that we might share the truth and share the gospel of Christ. Christ is alive. Christ is well, but we cannot see him. He is spirit, and his spirit indwells us. We've been born again, born from above, born by the Spirit. Praise God, we are spiritual human beings. We are spirit ourselves and have a body. We're not a body that has a spirit. We are a spirit that has a body. So we can chug along. And sometimes we don't chug as fast as we wish we could. But we chug. Is that right, fellas? Okay. Now here's the third heaven. Here's where Paul was talking about. Paul is saying, 2 Corinthians 12:2-4, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, you got to picture this now. Paul is not saying, it's me, because you got to pay attention to his audience. Have you ever noticed, you know, you sort of ease into your audience. You got to know how you're going to be received. Here Paul is, getting ready to tell a true story about him going into the presence of God's house, going to the third heaven. So he's around all of these big brains, brainiacs, and plus his disciples. They were not brainiacs. And they were like us. And he's there. So what's he telling? I know this person. You know, he's referring to himself in the third person. Listen to it. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Huh. He knew exactly 14 years ago that third man back there was called up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. Why did you listen to him now? God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. Sort of making it personal there, isn't he? Huh? But God knows. He was caught up to where? Where's paradise? Third heaven. Where's paradise? Third heaven. Paul just said, I was called up to, well, this guy was caught up to the third heaven. He heard what? Inexpressible things. Things that man is not permitted to tell. Now, what man is not permitted to tell can take on a whole number of areas. John, the beloved, the revelator, John of Revelation, John got caught up into that too. He said, I can't tell you what I saw, can't tell you what I heard, I can't tell you or explain to you what actually went on. And then he goes on and he says, because there aren't any words to explain what I saw. That's awesome. That's our home. That's paradise, Gene. That's paradise. So he's caught up there now. If paradise then is in the third heaven, and in paradise there is no evil, why would anyone think that Satan is going back and forth into paradise? That's not happening, folks. God will not allow evil to come in his presence. That's why Jesus had to die on the cross, because he loves us and he cannot allow us in his presence in this human body, because this body itself is full of evil. That's why that we have to leave this body in order to get to go into the presence of God. And we're going to. And I'm getting ready to start preaching. So I'm going to turn the page. And let's go to Worthy is the Lamb Part 2, which is where I'm supposed to start tonight. And you're going to learn something, hopefully tonight, about yourself. Now, you heard what I said, didn't you? You're going to learn something about yourself. Is that my water? Do you cough? Thank you. You probably will now. All right. Remember, the New Testament church has been raptured. At this point, we're gone. We're not down here. You got it? We're with the Lord. We're viewing all of this. The New Testament church has been raptured, and the tribulation period has arrived, along with Jesus' church of the tribulation period. Ah! The New Testament church, us, we're out of there. There will always be God's people. Where there are human beings in existence, with God's blessing, there will always be an opportunity for those human beings to believe in Jesus. You hear me? I'm not talking about second chances. I'm talking about a whole different realm, a whole different age of people. So, we have the church, or those who believe. Now, Revelation 12, verses 5 and 6. That was what I just reviewed for you. Let me do this, because I just went over that. The male child is Christ. The woman is the church's. Now, at the bottom of page 4, I put this on for you. You might want to underline. God's people, in every age, must expect the world's opposition, but the church can always defeat the enemy by being faithful to Jesus Christ. You will always have the world's opposition. All of God's people, no matter what age. Page 5. The battle at verses 7 and 9, 7 through 9, is different from Satan's original rebellion, which was described in verse 4. There's where a lot of confusion is also. Different battle completely, and which occurred long before the birth of Christ. Here's one thing. It's really difficult for us in chapter 12, the reason you see people stay away from it. You are jumping we have no idea what time span you can jump from one sentence to the next sentence. Let me see if I've got this one on here for us. Well, I will have. To show you the expanse of time and how fast that it can be. And there was war in heaven, and Michael, this is verse 7, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. Now, first, second heavens. You got it? Wherever they were there, they'd already been cast out of God's abode. They're down here. Yeah. They lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down. Here we go. That ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray, he was hurled where to? The earth, and his angels with him. Now, during this period of time here, during this tribulation period, Satan is down on planet Earth. He's down here. He's roaming. You have the Antichrist. You have the and you have the ultimate of Antichrist. You've got the false prophets. You've got all sorts of hell going on Earth. Well, wonder why? Because the leader of hell is down on Earth. Plus his angels are with him. Now, remind you, you're not here. You're not here at this period of time. This is the preparation for the millennial reign of Christ. This is what's getting ready to begin. This is the 3.5 year last part of the tribulation period. And this is in preparation for the millennial 1,000 year reign of Christ. All of this is going on. We're getting ready to come back with Christ. We're watching on. We're getting ready to come back with Christ at the end of this. But this is what's going on at this particular time. And verse 10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, and here's your preparation. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are you catching it? You can tie all of the scripture right into it. Of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Now, you and I have problem with it when we're viewing this, trying to get our minds wrapped around it, because we picture Satan, you know, coming, you know, getting real cocky and walking into the, just pushing open God's door and walking in, you know, disrespectfully, hey, big guy, I'm here, you know, that kind of stuff. No. That's spiritual stuff we're talking about, folks. We're not talking, you can't view this coming in or accusing us. You can't view this as, you know, a physical man coming in and saying this. You can't view it this way. You're talking about as spirit, a fight spirit. Do we not believe in the spiritual warfare that is going on? How many of you believe in spiritual warfare? You know why you believe it? You got it going on right inside of you. We're caught up right in the middle of it, right? Okay. Now, as this is going on, that's what was going on. The accusations going up to God. Not him having access in to do this like that. It's a spiritual focus. Now, from the Garden of Eden, on page 5, right in the middle, from the Garden of Eden through the tribulation to the end of the age and beyond. You hear me? Just because the end of the age is the end of the age doesn't mean there's not going to be ages afterwards. God said there will never be an end to my creation. Woo! He's going to keep creating, and we get to keep being a part of it. And he has jobs assigned to us. This is a training area for it. Well, what's your job, preacher? I don't really care. They got commodes, I'll clean them. I just am tickled to death to know that I happen to be a Christian, and I get to be with the Lord during all of this. Whatever it will be, it'll be an honor to do. All right. From the, I told you that. Look at verse 11. Nope. From the Garden of Eden through the tribulation to the end of the age and beyond, it will always be about the blood. They overcame him by the what? And by the word. Okay. All right. Stop right there. Everybody look at me. How many of you see yourself as a martyr? How many of you see yourself as a martyr? Now, here is something that I want us to understand about the term martyr in Revelation. And you're going to learn this. If you are a believer, are you a believer? Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is who He claims to be, and He saved your soul? You are a martyr. Let me do it this way for you. Throughout the book of Revelation, the Greek word for martyr refers to faithful testimony, not necessarily violent death. Those who reign with Christ are not martyrs because they were slain or beheaded. On the contrary, they were killed because they were already martyrs in the sense of being faithful, bearing faithful testimony to the truth of Jesus Christ. Do what? How many of you see yourself as martyrs? All right. Now, doesn't that help us out when we're looking at that term and all, and we get so confused here? Or, you know, I don't get a chance to have my head cut off. Or you have it. I've had my head bit off I don't know how many times. And you have too. If you haven't, you probably should have. But God says, because you stand for my name, you are a martyr. And because of that, those in this period of time will have their head severed. Do we not see that in our own generation? In the church overseas? In God's people throughout the world who are being slaughtered? Why? Because of the testimony of Jesus. They refuse to renounce Christ. Therefore, that's what made them the martyr. Not cutting off their head. They just lost their heads because they stood for the truth of Christ. That should help us out in our own way of thinking. What does your pastor, what does the Scripture teach us about grace? Grace abounds. And grace upon grace upon grace. I am dealing with that which is spiritual. Satan is going to use that which is physical to get at you. Is he not? If it comes and that is pushed on you, I guarantee you God will intervene. Because you're still his child. And you got to remember, I'm in the day of grace. And God said, touch not my anointed. Touch not my anointed. And when God says, don't touch the one that belongs to me, folks, I guarantee you, they're the ones in a lot more trouble than I'm in. Okay, page 6, your last page tonight. These and all other Christian martyrs are simply the overcoming Christians of every generation. Well, wait a minute now. The Jewish nation you're talking about, that they weren't Christian. Yes, they are. Jesus happened to be a Jew. You really need to, you know, let your brain soak in on that one. We are all people of Christ. They didn't know him. Many do today. Many did then. Many believed then. If these were the Jews that are the disciples and all that are giving us the stories of Christ. Okay? All right. Revelation 12, verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That's when you share Christ, when you share the word of Jesus. That's how you overcome. You want to fight, you want to know how to deal with a situation in your life, get in the word. It's the word that gives you the answer. The word that God gives us, that's the answer. Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Back up to Revelation 12:11. You're looking at it? How do I overcome? By the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of his testimony. That's correct. Now, verse 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Because I believe, because of the power of the blood, and I plead the blood, I will be with Christ. All the semantics, all of the evil people that exist that are trying to say, you do this, you do that, and then do you not think that God doesn't take into consideration your human frailty? Was not Paul the one that cried out on our behalf and said, oh, what a wretched man I am. The things that I want to do, I don't do. The very things that I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. And of sinners, I am the chief. He was giving us a bird's eye view of the battle that you have and I have with inside in dealing with life, in dealing with our struggle with life, our struggle with self, our struggle in wanting to do what's right in God's eyes and not knowing most of the time what is right. I mean, what do you say there? My family's going to die. Is it right for me to let them die over my words? Oh, you guarantee you, God will intervene. Guaranteed, God will intervene. He might just bless you and your whole family be taken up at the same time. Woo! Now you think of that. Had you rather be one that's taken or one that's left? In your family. And when it comes to death, had you rather you die or had you rather you be there and watch your child die? Watch it or lose a loved one? No, you don't like that, do you? Uh-uh.
But how can you save them?
Through the word, through the blood. Same way you're saved and I'm saved. That's why you hear me say all the time, tell God on them. Tell God on them. Okay. Here's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, verses 12 through 17. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. See, he is walking around now. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. That's the church. Remember in Revelation where the church is hidden and protected? Let's listen to it here. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle. No, folks, it's apocalyptic writing. It's not that you don't see the angel doctor coming down and sewing wings on the church. She was given wings of a great eagle, the great power, the awesome power of the greatest of birds, the eagle, so that she might fly to the place, look at it, prepared for her in the desert. That's at the end of the age, where God protects his church, his family, in a special place during this tribulation period, where she would be taken care of for a time and times. That's 3 years already. Time is a year. Times is 2 years. And a half a time. That's 3.5 years. Out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and swept her away with the torrent. And sweep her away with the torrent. But now this is all allegorical. This is all figurative type of language here. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. You're looking at pure evil coming down. God uses that. You remember me telling you on all the studies we've done, I've said, I wonder at what time did dirt talk? See, everything God created, it's obvious that each focus of his creation could relate to God, could relate to him in its own language. Well, okay. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman, the church, and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring. You're the offspring of Jesus. You're the offspring. You're the church. You're the body of Christ. Those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. That's who you are. Now, I'm through with chapter 12.